we are in Rohatsu. Rohatsu is in the Zen tradition, the awakening of the historical Buddha is celebrated on December 8th. We, of course, don't know the actual day, and many traditions have it on different days. Some combine it and put it in the beginning of spring, full moon day, but it doesn't matter the date. What's important is to know we're not celebrating something about what happened 2,000 years ago, 2,000 plus, 2,500, whatever number of years ago. But it's this Buddha's awakening that's our life, that we're not just celebrating, but practicing so that we can be this. So I'm going to start by talking a little bit from one sutra and then a little bit from another sutra. Because this is what our whole practice, whether in Rohatsu or at other times, is. It's this. So this is from the Avatamsaka Sutra, also known as the Wayan Sutra. So this attributes that when the Buddhas, the Tathagatas or Tathagata's awakening is, he says, quote, "How amazing, how amazing! Sentient beings are fully endowed with the insight, wisdom of the Tathagata. And yet, sentient beings is all of us, is all beings we encounter. And yet, being confused, being ignorant, they do not see it." Or another, a little further, he says, it's a count of deluded thinking, erroneous views, attachments, that we, all beings, don't see what we fully are, or what we are fully endowed with. Endowed means we get it, not because you're anything special, not because you've done anything special, but fully endowed with. All beings, all sentient beings, is the way. Fully endowed, not just a little bit, fully endowed with the wisdom, the insight of the Tathagata, of the thus comeness, fully endowed. So therefore, because of this, the Buddha says, I'm going to support practice, encourage practice, teach them how, enabling them, as the sutra says, to be forever free from deluded thinking attachments, and to achieve for themselves this vision, broad and vast insight of the Tathagata, so as to be no different from the Buddha. That's what the Avatamsaka Sutra says. So in a sense, that's what the whole of, if we say Rohatsu is the practice of doing what enables us to be who we truly are, and doing it with formal practice, sitting, walking, all the ways that we practice together. So that, what was the problem that the Buddha talked about? So that we're not caught up in deluded thinking, not holding on to erroneous views, attachments of all sorts, physical, mental. It's the holding on. So that's when we talk about practice, it's very simple, as we say in the practice principles, caught in self-centered, holding to self-centered, self-centered thoughts, beliefs. We are not in charge of when they arise. And yet, it's labeling those, noting those, whatever's skillful for us, working with we have a koan, working with that, whatever our practice is, so that we can be this experiencing, so that we can be this that we are fully endowed with, the wisdom and compassion, if you want to say, of the thus come, thus gone of the Buddha. So we're not celebrating something that happened or commemorating something that happened once upon a time, but doing what enables us to be exactly who and what we are. So there's another text. This is known as the Bahiya Sutra. Bahiya is the name of an individual who lived in the Buddha's time, and he lived in southern India. I'll give you the name of what the sutra says. It's Suparaka, but it doesn't matter where it is. It's near modern-day Bombay. And he was much respected, a sincere, serious practitioner. But the sutra says he was told by a relative, maybe in a dream, maybe he was told by a relative that really he hadn't quite accomplished, but that the Buddha, who at that time was living in what's known as Jetta's Grove in Savatthi, was someone who could help him, who is enables one to become awake. The sutra says Bahiya leaves where he's living and walks to Jetta's Grove, which is halfway across the Indian subcontinent. So these places are listed in the sutra. When he arrives there, he's told, oh, the Buddha has gone out into town to collect alms, food, so that he could eat, because that's the way the Buddha used to live. He would go out and beg food for and eat whatever he was given on his begging rounds. So Bahiya follows the Buddha into town. Meeting the Buddha on the street, the sutra said, in Savatthi, he begs for instruction. The Buddha says to him that it's not the proper time for me to give instructions. I give instructions later, since I'm walking on alms pilgrimage to get food. You know, we'll do it later. But Bahiya insists. He says, no. We don't know the length of each of our lives. I don't have any time. I walked across, I don't know, the sutra doesn't say he walked across it, but he was insisted. And three times the Buddha says, oh, you know, this isn't the time. Let me gather. I'm on alms round. Three times he responds to the Buddha, no, I can't wait. Now. I need to get this instruction right now, because I'm not sure how much longer your life, my life, any of our lives is. So, being requested three times, the Buddha's tradition is, if you put people off three times but they continue, then you give the instruction. So the Buddha gives Bahiya a brief instruction, and it turns out, well, you'll hear what it turns out, but, well, I'll say it. It said that following these instructions, Bahia was awakened, became an arhat in the Theravadan tradition. But the sutra says a little further that Bahia's insistence, intuition, so to speak, about the uncertainty of life turns out to be well-founded, because soon after he met with the Buddha, there was an accident and he died. And the Buddha tells of this to other of his disciples, and that they should take care of Bahia's remains. And he says Bahia died as a fully awakened being. Now, let's go to exactly what the Buddha says, the instructions which enabled him to do this. So, here's the instruction. Therefore, Bahia, you should train yourself thus. Train yourself thus is what our practice is. In what is seen, there will just be just seeing, or just what is seen. In what is heard, there will be just hearing. In what is sensed, there will be just sensing. Language is a little stiff, this translation, but it's good. In what is cognized, there will be just cognizing. Bahia, you should train yourself thus. Bahia, when for you, in what is seen, there will just be just seeing. In what is heard, there will be just hearing. In what is sensed, there will be just sensing. In what is cognized, thought, there will be just cognizing. Then, Bahia, you will not be thereby. When, Bahia, you will not be thereby, then you will not be therein. Bahia, when you will not be therein, then you will be neither here, nor beyond, nor between the two. This is the end of suffering, dukkha. That was the Buddha's instruction to Bahia. In a way, it's not so different, different specific words, but not so different from our practice. We need to attend to note, label, because otherwise we don't even notice that what we're doing with hearing. But it's in order, in a sense, to enable us to be just this experiencing, just hearing, just seeing, just sensing, cognizing. That's our practice. So, for Rohatsu, for all the time, but especially for Rohatsu, both in terms of formal sitting and throughout the day, whether when you're eating, chewing, walking, cleaning, talking to someone, listening to someone, driving, doing your work on a computer, all the activities, be just this experiencing. It doesn't say get rid of cognition, get rid of seeing. It says, be just this seeing, just this thinking, just this hearing. So, just this. I've talked about that in the past few weeks. So please, for Rohatsu, whether you can sit once a day, whether you could sit several times a day, consider your whole day just this practice. Use the Buddha's instructions so that you can be who, what you are. Be, to use the word, fully endowed with. Because all of this is possible for each and every one of us. And yet we must do our practice. So that's what Rohatsu is doing the practice of the Buddha, the awakened life that you are, that we are. Thank you.